A message that the Lord has really been stirring me, and God has spoke to me that this is to be a revival year, 25. I believe this is the time where you say, well, it doesn't look like it. Well, you know, usually when things are the worst is when God moves the strongest. And so I'm believing God, He's going to move in a strong and mighty way. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, we'll begin. I'm reading out the New King James. I'm also going to look at the Passion Translation. But he says here in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. We are to give the more earnest heed to those things we've heard, lest we drift away. Or we say it like this, unless we let it slip from us. Amen. The Passion translates this this way. That this is why it is so crucial that we be all the more engaged and attentive to the truths that we've heard so that we do not drift off course. That's powerful, isn't it? In other words, you got to stay with the Word of God if you're going to stay on course. You don't start with the Word of God and then look for something else to take its place in the middle of the battle. And what the apostle is telling to the Hebrews, because they're under great persecution for giving their lives to the Lord, they're in great persecution for accepting Christ. But you know, everybody gets persecuted for being a Christian. If you're a real Christian, you give your heart to the Lord and there are going to be all kinds of things that are going to come against you. And so right here, I believe the apostle Paul is the writer of Hebrews, but you know, whatever. He says here to the Hebrew Christians, he says, listen, I am encouraging you right now to grab a hold of that word and give it earnest heed. In other words, don't let it slip from you. Don't let it drift away from you. Don't let the enemy get it from you. Because if he can get the word out of you and away from you and get you thinking something else, he can get you off course. And when the devil gets you off course, he's the one controlling, not you. Amen? The devil does not want you following the word. But you see, we have to start off with the word. Everything God does, he does through the planting of the seed of the word of God. God does nothing without His Word. Do you understand that? In Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus was teaching there. And in verse 14, He said, the sower sows the Word. Isn't that right? He, in other words, everything starts by the Word being planted, the Word being received. And then He says this in the next verse. In verse 15, He goes on, He says, and these are they by the wayside who have heard the Word, and the devil or Satan comes immediately to steal the Word out of their heart. Isn't that amazing? The devil comes immediately to do what? To get the Word away from you and get it out of your heart. That's why the apostle's saying you got to give the more earnest heed. You got to grab a hold of this word. You got to keep it alive and keep it in your heart. Praise God. You know, there in Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus talks about there in those 14 through 20. He talks about different types of ground. He talks about different things going on. He talks about, you know, some of the things the devil's going to use to get you off course is persecution. People saying things about you, attacking you. Amen. Some of it's going to be tests and trials coming your way. And you know, you just thought, well, you know, I praise God. I went to church, heard this word, and I took my stand. Everything's going to be rosy from here. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. You better go back and reread that. He said the devil comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. And he'll use tests and trials and tribulation to come after you and get it. Amen. You say, well, Brother Darrell, what am I supposed to do if I'm not going through a test right now? Do what James says. See, stay with the Word. Count it all joy when you find yourself in a test or trial. What? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work your patience. But let patience have its perfect work so that you can come out of that thing entire and wanting nothing. Amen? Well, I don't feel like joy. He didn't say feel like joy. He said count it all joy. See, everybody thinks joy is an expression or joy is a feeling or joy is some place of ecstasy that you get. Joy is a decision to rejoice in the Lord whether you feel like it or not. So when I'm getting persecuted, what does God say? He says, Jesus said over there in Matthew, He said, listen, when they're persecuting you and saying all kinds of things against you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Instead of getting mad and upset and backsliding and leaving the church because somebody's saying something about us, we should run over and give them a hug. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Man, you're filling up my coffers up in heaven. Glory to God! Great shall be my reward. You ain't getting the best of me, devil. You're not getting the word from me because I'm not listening to what you say. I'm listening to what God says. Amen? I'm staying with the word. Hallelujah! Then he talks about cares coming in and trying to choke the Word of God. What's that mean? You're getting so caught up in the problem that you're carrying the weight of it around on your own shoulders. And that care and that worry and that concern and how am I going to get through this begins to choke the Word of God. And the first thing you know, it begins to drift and you begin to get away from the Word and you start trying to figure out how you can fix it. And the moment you try to get in the place where you can fix it, you have just put yourself in a place for the devil to defeat you and steal everything that God's trying to do in your life. So what am I going to do, Pastor Darrell, if I've got all this care and all this pressure and this weight on me? Cast it over on the Lord like He told you to do. Keep being a doer of the Word. Hallelujah. Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, You never intended for me to be a pack mule. You called me a sheep. Hallelujah. And sheep don't carry things. Amen. So I'm bringing all that worry and care and all that junk and here it is. And next time Adele comes on and says, what are you going to do about this? Just look at him and say, you're talking to the wrong person. Yeah, talk Jesus. I gave that to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Talking about cares. But then it gets into, lust of other things. If you don't watch out, the devil, the moment you start getting excited for the Lord and pressing in, the devil will begin to open up other things that will pull you away from God and make it look so good that maybe you should give more time to this. That's when you got to smack yourself, say, get refocused. That is what I came out of. Why would I want to go back in it? So I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. Hallelujah. And keep walking with Him. Praise God. And then so he talks about the deceitfulness of riches. And sometimes if we don't watch out, we'll put money before God and put things before God. But if you're going to walk in victory, you have to esteem the things of the world lightly and esteem the things of God greatly. Amen. And put God first in every situation. Why? Because in Mark 4:20, he says this, but these are they that are sown on good ground. I don't know about you, but I always want to be the good ground. Hallelujah. If you notice, most of the time when I pray, when I'm getting ready to preach, I always say, Lord, we choose to be good ground. Well, what is good ground? Those who hear the Word, receive the Word, and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Lord, I'm not just coming to hear, I'm coming to receive. And I'm not just coming to hear and receive, I'm coming to do it. Hallelujah. I came here for a purpose. I came here to be changed, transformed by the power of God's Word and leave here all fired up and ready to go out and fight life's battles in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, that's what God is looking for. That's what He's calling us to do. In fact, in Galatians 6:9, the Apostle Paul warns us over there. He says, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. See, you can get weary. How many of you found out you got here and you're confessing, you're doing what's right, and all of a sudden you find yourself one day just a little tired and just, why, Lord, and I don't know. He says, don't grow weary in doing good. He says, because in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. King James says, if we faint not, but I like the New King, it says, if we don't lose heart. You know why I like that? Because it's your heart that you're guarding. It's your heart you're protecting. It's the heart that's going to have to give the more earnest heed to the Word of God. It's the heart that's going to have to be filled up and full of the things of God if you're going to make it to your due season. Amen? How many of you found out due season doesn't always happen the next day? Huh? Come on. Well, we think, well, I just don't understand that. Well, I'm not preaching on Mark, but it sure is on my heart right now. You know, if you keep reading there in the fourth chapter, he talks about the kingdom of God as if a man goes out and plants his seed, goes to bed, gets up, goes to bed and gets up. He said, first thing he knows, he goes out there and looks in his field and here comes a little sprout. And he starts rejoicing. Then all of a sudden, here comes a stalk. Hallelujah. And if you'll just stay patient and just keep on watching over that, the first thing you know, he said, there's corn. And you just now, he said, the harvest has come. Go out and put in the sickle and reap it. It's yours. Glory to God. There is a planning time of obeying God. Then there's a time of holding fast your confession and standing and believing God. And then there's a due season that when it comes, praise God, I didn't quit. I didn't get frustrated. I didn't give up. I didn't get discouraged. I kept on standing and praising God and walking with God. And God, now I've got my harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And you see, that's how the kingdom of God operates. And this is what the apostle is trying to get across to the Hebrew children. You got to keep yourself refreshed and renewed, and you got to stay in a place where the devil can't touch that word that God has planted in your heart. Amen. You say, well, brother, what if I have allowed the enemy to kind of get me in a place where I am off course a little bit? Maybe I am a little frustrated. Maybe I have let some things slip. Well, let's go over to the 85th Psalm. Look over here real quickly. Psalm 85. And David is speaking to us here, and I believe this really fits right in with us. David says in verse 6, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation." Hallelujah. Notice he says, will you not revive us again? Will you not revive us again? You know what it means? They had to be revived once before. Hallelujah. Listen to me, folks. We're living in a real world with a real devil that's shooting real darts at us, and there's real problems, and there's real struggles, and there's real attacks, and there's real pressures, and all the things around us. In fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you're going to have tests, trials, tribulation, problems, so all these things are going to come against you. But then he said, but rejoice! Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. The Amplified says, and have deprived it of its right to destroy you. Glory to God. The devil has a right to attack, but he don't have a right to win. But how many of you found out you're out here and you're doing the battles and you're doing all this stuff and you're holding fast your confession, and one day you wake up and you don't feel that zeal to do it? Come on. You don't have to sit there and look real spiritual. We've all been there. So I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching at all of us. Amen. When you're sitting there and you find yourself praying to God to do something that He's already said He would do. And you're trying to get God to change this thing. You're trying to do all this, and you're working on God, and you're trying to get God to do all this stuff, and you're trying to do all these things, and you're telling God all the problems. You say, was you listening to me pray this week? No, I'm talking about me sometimes. I've been through it. Hallelujah. Listen, in just a couple of weeks, I'll celebrate my 49th year since I was licensed to preach. So I've been doing this for a while. And I'd like to say in 49 years, I never did what I'm preaching to you, but I did it. Hallelujah. And then I have to repent for lying if I said I never did it. One time I was praying, man, the pressures were on, the problem was there, and all kinds of stuff's going on, and I'd been praying for 3 days. I mean, I was seeking God, praying, and just before God, and the third day, I'd been praying about 45 minutes, and I'm praying for the same thing, and finally the Lord interrupted me. And He said, what are you doing? How many of you know that wasn't the answer I was praying for? I said, what do you mean, Lord? I'm asking you to take care of this. He said, no, it sounds to me like you're complaining. Come on, and he says, you're trying to make me act like God, but I'm already God. And he said, have you thought maybe the problem isn't with me? Come on. You ever thought maybe the problem is what you're doing? Maybe you're not doing what, maybe you need to deal with something. Notice David didn't say, oh Lord, revive yourself. No, he said, revive us again. In other words, Lord, see, here's the problem, folks. We're all the time trying to work on the sending end when we should be working on the receiving end. The sending end is good and He ain't going to change. Listen, in Malachi 3:6, the Lord speaks to Malachi the prophet, and He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And if you're trying to get God to change, you're just wasting time. That's Old Testament. How about New? James 1:17. Every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's the same all the time. How about Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Woo, glory to God. How about Hebrews 7:24, that He is a high priest over an unchangeable priesthood? So the priesthood don't change. Well, I know God don't change, but sometimes He changes His Word and His message. No, no, no. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven." God ain't going to change His Word. It's the same as it was yesterday. It'll be the same today. It'll be the same tomorrow. By whose stripes you were healed worked yesterday, it'll work today, and it'll work tomorrow. My God supplied all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God never changes, and He's always good. Hallelujah. So David understood, Lord, if there's a change, it's going to have to be me making the change. And I need You to revive me again. I need You to stir me again. I looked up the word in the Hebrew for revive, and it means to quicken. Quicken means bring back to life. Lord, bring us back alive again. Hallelujah. It also means this, to recover. Lord, I need to be recovered. I feel like I need to be lifted back up. Help me, Lord. Recover me. Recover my faith. Recover my confession, Lord. Recover my praise. Recover everything that I need to do and make it real in me again. That's what revive means. It also means to repair. Lord, I got hurt in that last battle. And I've been carrying some hurt and frustration around with me. And I need You to do a fix up on me. Hallelujah. Need You to repair that and get me back to the place where I got my joy back again. Hallelujah. It also means to restore to life. Lord, I'm asking You right now to restore to life my confession. I'm asking You to restore to life my praise. See, what David is saying is this. God, I've been just going through the motions. I know what to do. And I'm doing it, but there's no life in what I'm doing. See, folks, if you don't have the life and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your confession, you're just saying words. And a lot of us are practicing Christianity instead of living Christianity. Come on, God doesn't inhabit the songs of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. And if you aren't praising God with that song, He don't come and inhabit it. Are you hearing me? It's not just a shout that brings the walls down. It's a shout of praise, believing God is God and He's greater than your problem. Hallelujah. And David is saying, Lord, my confession is not moving the mountain because it's not full of the faith and the power of God. Revive, bring back to life my confession so I can stand here and say, mountain, be cast into the sea and know that it's going to happen. Hallelujah. See, we want revival in our nation, but we got to revive the faith in our hearts. We got to revive the praise in our mouth. We got to revive the shout in our hearts. We got to revive our walk with God. Hallelujah. And who's going to do that? We're going to ask that the Lord, let the Lord begin to pour into us that which He wants done. Revive it in our heart. This thing isn't routine. This is a righteous life. Going to church isn't just a habit. It's who we are. It's an assembling together. Hebrews says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves. Not the going or the religious act of it. It means that you're coming together, putting your part with every other part. And you're coming together to lift up the name of Jesus and reach the Word and encourage one another. And when you leave a church service, we should leave that church service ready to go out and fight the devil with a switch. Hallelujah. You come around me, devil, I'll put you out with a squirt gun. Hallelujah. Because it's not by my might, and it's not by my power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And I have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And that's just not words now, it's real. Revive us again, O Lord. Repair and get us out of walking around feeling like we're hurt and somebody did us wrong. Lord, go ahead and restore life back into us so that we get dance back in our dance and shout back in our shout and praise back in our praise. And Lord, put that faith back in our mouth so that when we say something we really believe is going to happen again. Hallelujah. See, the change has to take place in me. God has to do a work in me. Are you hearing me? And notice what he says here. Somebody says, well, Pastor Darrell, how do I know if I'm revived? He says this, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? That your people may rejoice in you? What's that mean? That means this. I got to let God do something in me before He can do something for me. And I got to learn to rejoice in the Lord, not just rejoice because I'm seeing all the things happen. I praise God. You see, if God, I let God do a work in me, then God can do a work for me. Hallelujah. Somebody says, oh, I'm revived. Well, you better inform your face because the rest of us can't see it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm so thankful today. Y'all pray for me. I'll hold on till the end. No, bless God. You need to get revived. Hallelujah. That we may rejoice. Come on, church. What was it like whenever you first heard the word of faith and you found out that you didn't have to just be some old beat up somebody, and that you could be the head and not the tail and above only not beneath, that you could pray and get answers? I mean, I tell you, you walk out of church about 2 foot higher than you came in. Hallelujah. You got filled with the Holy Ghost and everybody around you found out about it. Because you were fired up, revived, and stirred. And what David is saying, Lord, I want what I had when I first got it back in me again. I want that zeal, that excitement, that passion, that purpose. Lord, that when I pray, I know I'm going to get through. Lord, when I speak, I know You're going to have it, bring it to pass. Lord, when I stand and I take my ground, I know that You're standing with me. And I'm not just going through the motions of being a Christian. I'm living it. And it's flowing out of my spirit like a mighty river of living water that God has placed in me. Amen? So that's what David is saying. He said, revive us, O Lord. Then he says, if You do, we'll rejoice in You. Then he says, show us Your mercy, Lord. Aren't you glad that in Hebrews 4:16 that we can come before the throne of God's grace and mercy and obtain mercy in our times of struggle and problems for all the things and then receive grace to help us in our time of need? See, folks, when you've been going through a battle and you've made a bad decision or you got upset or you got hurt and you need to be repaired, restored, and renewed, you need to let God do a work in you. And to do that, you got to be in a position to let Him do that. Amen? So, you say, Brother, what am I going to do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look in Acts chapter 3. Let me show you what you and I and all of us are going to have to do if we're going to see revival come to the church and revival come to our nation. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple to pray, and they find a lame man, and he's begging for alms. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and the man immediately receives strength. And Peter then begins to preach to them out of that preaching, glory to God, that they had 5,000 people get saved. That's a pretty good revival, isn't it? Amen? But look what he says down here in verse 19. And here's the instruction that you and I have to receive from the Apostle Peter if we're going to have God revive us and stir us and renew us so that we're not just going through the motions, but it's a reality to us again. It's real. Hallelujah. This is what he says in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing, so that what? Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There's a condition for us to get refreshed. There's a condition for us to be revived. Somebody says, what is it? He says to repent. Somebody says, what does that mean? Do you just go to God and ask Him to forgive us? Well, that's a part of repentance. But if you stop there, you didn't really repent. Because that word repent there in the Greek means to change the way you think and change your actions to agree with God. See, true repentance means that I come before God and I take my wrong thinking and lay it down at His feet and allow Him to give me His thinking. I put down my wrong actions, meaning what? Walk around slump-shouldered, carrying the burden, worried, wondering how am I going to do it, fussing about everything, mad, not going to church half time anymore, and wait until I get a feeling. Peter says, you want to get refreshed? I'm going to tell you what you got to do. You got to change the way you think. You got to change your actions. You got to quit living like you've been living. And you have to live like God wants you to live. What's that mean? You have to let God revive those truths that you once heard. You have to let God revive you that you called upon the name of Jesus Christ and you were born again by the Spirit of God. You've got to let God revive in you that you came before God and drank and got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and start speaking in tongues again. Hallelujah. So he says you have to repent. That times of refreshing. Amplified brings it out really good. I like the Amplified. He says, so repent. Then he gives you the Amplified. He gives you basically what the Greek says. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God. Whew, isn't that good? Don't leave the altar the same way you came. You came dragging to that altar, feeling sorry for yourself, upset, mad at somebody, frustrated, and even mad at God. You come to that altar and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't given earnest heed to your word, and because of that, I've drifted off course. But God, I'm asking you to put me back on course. And Lord, I ask you to help me clean up my thinking. Help me to clean up my actions. And Lord, right now, I thank you for giving me your mind. Thank you, Lord, for showing me how to act in this situation. Lord, thank you for your will being done in my life. I receive you right now, changing, correcting, and putting me back on the right course. See, that's true repentance. That's turning to God. Then look what the Amplified says will happen to you when you do that. He says that your sins plural means your mistakes, may be erased, blotted out, and wiped clean. Woo, glory to God. What's he saying? He's saying if you come to God and let him work on you, he'll get rid of everything that's hurt you. And everything that's hindered you, he'll just clean you up from it. Hallelujah. It's what he's wanting to do anyway. And then he says this, why am I going to do it? That times of refreshing, recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, sometimes we just need to stop and say, Lord, I need to take an evaluation and judge myself. When was the last time I felt the presence of God? When was the last time I just had joy rise up on? When was the last time I felt your anointing so strong I just believed I could run through a troop and leap over a wall? Lord, when was the last time I felt you taking hold together with me when I was speaking to that mountain and you and me were moving that thing out of the way? Hallelujah. See, sometimes if that's not happened for a while, we got to work on the receiving at our end. And Peter says, well, the way you do that is you let God change the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk. And you come before God and say, Lord, I let go of that word and it drifted away from me. But Lord, I'm going to tell you what, I reached out and grabbed a hold of it and I brought it back. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making that word a living word in me again. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing back to life the vision that God gave me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for stirring me up again to stand up. I don't care who's against me. If God be for me, who cares who's against me? And Lord, you wrote, and see, the first thing happens when you begin to let the Holy Spirit, he begins to stir all these scriptures, and all of a sudden, Romans 8. What shall we say to these things then? Tribulation, persecution, tests, trials, cares, worries, all this stuff. He says, they're coming to separate you from the love of God. He says, they're coming to destroy you and make you think that you can't do anything. And then he says, but no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. That's getting revived, folks. That's when you've allowed the Lord to take your eyes back off of the problem and put them back on him. And now you're no longer seeing the problem through your abilities. You're seeing the problem through God. That's why David, when he went out against Goliath, everybody was afraid of him because he was so big and bad. David said, him? I done killed a bear and a lion. My God. And David grabbed him five smooth stones and he took off. And Goliath is cursing him and telling him and trying to taunt him. And David just looked at him and said, you come at me with a sword and a shield and a spear. I'm coming after you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have defiled and you have defied and you stood against. And he's going to show you today there is a God in Israel. Bam. He saw the giant through the eyes of God. Everybody else saw them through the eyes of the giant. Quit letting the problem determine your thought life. Quit letting the problem steal your time. Get back in the presence of God until you can cast that thing down, get out of it, and stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. You say, what do you mean? That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many of you found out that if it's a real big battle, that's why Peter, that's why David said, revive us again. My Lord, folks, I tell you what, I needed God to revive me two or three times a week here at times. Hallelujah. Come on. You're in a battle and you get one thing and the next thing you know, just as soon as you get a victory, here comes boom. And you have to go, oh Lord, here we go again. Give me some more. Hallelujah. Why? Because you see, you're getting that word in you. And what did Jesus say? The devil's coming immediately to steal it away. Because he knows that if you receive that word and stay in the word and it takes root in your heart, it's going to produce good things in your life. And you see, what you got to understand, folks, you as a believer are God's power plant. You're God's power. But what's a power plant? It doesn't just have energy for itself. It produces energy for everything around it. And God wants to sow His Word, His anointing in you and me so that not only are we operating in power, but we can keep the lights on all around us. Hallelujah. Because we're releasing the power of God to flow out to others and touch their lives. Are you hearing me? How many power plants do we have in here tonight? See, hallelujah. See, the enemy tried to come in and shut you down, but I'm going to tell you what, it's time to open them back up. Praise God. And release the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You say, how are we going to do that? Real quickly, look in Ephesians chapter 5. Glory to God. What's the first thing we're going to have to do if we're going to have this power flowing through us again and be revived? In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. And he says here in verse 17, let's pick it up there. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord, Paul? And do not be drunk with wine, which is excess or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what he's just saying? He's saying, listen, as a believer, don't be so full of the world that all you talk about is what the world's doing. Too many Christians can tell you more about what's going on bad in the world than they can tell you what the Lord's doing in the church. So he's not just talking about getting drunk out here. He's talking about allowing yourself to be intoxicated with the worldliness that's around you. He says, don't be so full of the world that you just don't have any faith, that you just don't have any joy. He's saying, what you need to do is this. He said, if you're so full of all that's going on around you and all this worldly stuff, he says, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word filled there doesn't mean to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's talking to Spirit-filled believers right now. The Greek there says, but be being filled with the Spirit. That means continuously being refreshed and renewed and refilled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't know about you folks, but there are times that 2 or 3 times a day I go and get me another refilling of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Somebody says, how do you get it? John 7, Jesus said in verse 37, 38, if you're thirsty, just come and drink until up out of your belly begins to flow rivers of living water. Somebody says, well, I'm full. Well, let's see the river. Hallelujah. Somebody says, what's the river, Brother Darrell? Well, let's read on down here. He says in verse 16 here, he says, and then we drop down to verse 18, then verse 19. This is what he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that describe you? This is a revived Christian. A revived Christian is one that's so full of the Holy Ghost, it's changed what you're saying, it's changed what you're singing, it's changed your actions, it's changed your attitudes, and everybody around you can see it because you're rejoicing in the Lord. Man, I'm singing and speaking and praising and shouting and walking with God. Somebody says, he's just putting that on. I am. I'm putting it on the devil because God gave it to me to put it on him. Hallelujah. I'm running him off. Hallelujah. Well, what are we supposed to sing? I don't think that's good. Well, I'm not going to sing gloom, despair, and agony on me anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to sing greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord again, and I say rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm just going to praise God because, see, I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to begin to bubble up into me until I begin to speak out to you in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, you know, this is really, I like hymns. Well, sing a hymn. Well, I like charismatic praise. Then sing a praise song. Well, I like singing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Hallelujah. Just praise God. That's a whole lot better than feeling sorry for yourself, feeling like you aren't going to make it, wondering where God's at. Amen. See, these are signs of somebody who said, I'm not going to let the test defeat me. I'm not going to grow weary. I'm not going to let the enemy steal the word. Lord, fill me again with the Holy Ghost. Lord, let times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord and just fill me up. just fill me up. I'm just going to drink until out of me begins to flow psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and praise and words of faith instead of words of fear. Thank you, Lord, for stirring me up. Amen. And then the final thing is found over here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. What we find here, Paul has to remind Timothy that he has faith. Sometimes we have to stir our faith up. You ever been in a situation where the devil said you don't have enough faith, or you don't have faith, or your faith ain't working or anything? Well, you know, Timothy got persecuted and some of them tried to get on him. And so, you know, he had some rough times. So Paul here is writing this letter to him. And he says in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. See, don't ever let the devil tell you you don't have faith, because you're a born again child of God. And to be a born again child of God, you have to have faith, because you can't be saved without faith. So you have a genuine God kind of faith that's on the inside of you. And Paul reminds Timothy of that. He says, which was dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded in you also. In other words, he said, boy, you're coming from a long line of faith people. And then he says this. He gets down here. Therefore, I remind you. Well, here it is. To stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, revive me by filling me full of the Holy Spirit and causing rivers of living water to begin to bubble up and flow out of me again. Lord, put the praise back in my praise, the shout back in my shout, the joy back in my joy. Lord, let me rejoice in you. Show me your mercy, Lord, and just bring forth your salvation. That word salvation over there in Psalm 85, it means healing, deliverance, preservation, soundness, wholeness, glory to God. Lord, just bring everything you got and make it work in my life right now. And then you need to stop and say, Lord, I'm going to stir up. I have faith. Bless God, my prayers do work. God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Lord, I've been doubting me and blaming you. So, Lord, I want to thank you right now that you're cleaning me up. You're washing me, purging me. Now, revive me, Lord. Thank you for being my God. Then you just rise up. Hallelujah. Now, once again, you got to get a hold of this. The Lord spoke this to me this afternoon. He said, you have to let me do a work in you before I can do a work for you. A lot of us are wanting God to do something for us, but we're the problem. He's got to do something in us before He can do something for us. What is He's got to do in us? He's got to clean us up and revive us. He's got to get our thinking right and our actions right to get back in agreement with Him, and then He can do what He said He would do. Amen? I use the illustration all the time. Paul and Silas have been beaten, thrown in jail. Their feet are in stocks. There's bars. I mean, they're in the worst spot they can be in. What did they do? They prayed and sang praises unto God at the midnight hour. Notice they praised God before God did anything. That means that they stirred themselves and let God revive them, and they got the fire back in. They got the faith back in. God did a work in them, and then as they were praising Him, God did a work for them. Amen. Over in the Old Testament, there was a couple armies came out against Jehoshaphat. And he said, Lord, we ain't able to do this. So he called a prayer meeting and fasting. And one of the priests stepped up with a word from God. So don't worry about it. God's got this. Battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. And then Jehoshaphat stepped in and he comes in and praises God. And then he says, listen, we're going to go one step farther. If God's got this, we're going to go out with the praisers in front. And they went out singing, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures. And there's still armies out here that have defeated everybody they came across. And while they're singing and praising God, God sets ambushments and they fight each other, and they don't ever have to draw a sword. Because they took it out of them and put it back in God. And they started acting like covenant people of God. what God did for them, He will do for us. For I am the Lord, I change not. Amen? He's going to do it again. But we're going to have to move over into that place where we so trust God that we're willing to go out against the enemy with a song and a praise. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and mercy, Lord. We just thank You for the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the spirit of revival coming to our land. But Lord, first of all, a spirit of reviving coming to Your church. And Lord, this evening, I just pray for each and every one that, Lord, there will be such a reviving of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that, Holy Spirit, You'll come in and quicken us, repair us. Holy Spirit, that You'll restore us and move in a mighty way and bring us to that place, walking in the light of the life of God. Thank You, Lord, for that anointing rising up right now. Thank You, Lord, for reviving us. Lord, thank You for doing a work in us. Like Paul and Silas, they had to take their eyes off of the jail and put them on You and praise You. Lord, help us right now to take our eyes off of the battle and put them on You. Help us as Jehoshaphat to take our eyes off the enemy and put them upon You. Help us, Lord. Revive us again, O Lord, that we may rejoice in You. Thank You, Lord, for that spirit of reviving and renewal coming right now. We believe we receive it. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know what you've been going through. Don't know what battles you've been in. Listen to me. Don't you ever, ever condemn yourself and let the devil tell you that you're not worthy and you just because you've gotten tired or wearied or frustrated. This message was given to me to bring revival to the church because too many of us have lived exhausted, frustrated, and condemning ourselves. Because we haven't seen the victories that we knew God wants us to have. And the devil has done all he can do to steal that joy and steal the word away from us. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we're going right back to those things we've heard. Yes. We're laying hold of the truths that set us free. And we're going to put them right back in where they belong. And you may have been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, but you know what? This might be a good night to come and get filled up afresh and anew. That times of refreshing may come